The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection. Chapter 18, Faith and Shakti. Page 771. The three parts of the perfection of our instrumental nature, of which we have till now been reviewing the general features, the perfection of the intelligence, heart, vital consciousness and body, the perfection of the fundamental soul powers, the perfection of the surrender of our instruments and action to the divine Shakti, depend at every moment of their progression on a fourth power, that is, covertly and overtly, the pivot of all endeavor and action, faith, Shraddha. The perfect faith is an assent of the whole being to the truth seen by it or offered to its acceptance, and its central working is a faith of the soul in its own will to be and attain and become, and its idea of self and things and its knowledge, of which the belief of the intellect, the heart's consent, and the desire of the life mind to possess and realize are the outward figures. This soul faith, in some form of itself, is indispensable to the action of the being. And without it, man cannot move a single pace in life, much less take any step forward to a yet unrealized perfection. It is so central and essential a thing that the Gita can justly say of it that whatever is a man's Shraddha, that he is, yo yatrada sa eva sa. And it may be added, whatever he has the faith to see is possible in himself and strive for, that he can create and become. There is one kind of faith demanded as indispensable by the integral yoga, and that may be described as faith in God and the Shakti, faith in the presence and power of the divine in us and the world, a faith that all in the world is the working of one divine Shakti, that all the steps of the yoga, its strivings and sufferings and failures, as well as its successes and satisfactions and victories, are utilities and necessities of her workings, and that by a firm and strong dependence on and a total self-surrender to the divine and to his Shakti in us, we can attain to oneness and freedom and victory and perfection. The enemy of faith is doubt. And yet doubt, too, is a utility and necessity, because man in his ignorance and in his progressive labor towards knowledge needs to be visited by doubt. Otherwise, he would remain obstinate in an ignorant belief and limited knowledge and unable to escape from his errors. This utility and necessity of doubt does not altogether disappear when we enter on the path of yoga. The integral yoga aims at a knowledge not merely of some fundamental principle, but a knowing, a gnosis which will apply itself to and cover all life and the world action. And in this search for knowledge, we enter on the way and are accompanied for many miles upon it by the mind's unregenerated activities before these are purified and transformed by a greater light. We carry with us a number of intellectual beliefs and ideas, which are by no means all of them correct and perfect, and a host of new ideas and suggestions meet us afterwards demanding our credence, which it would be fatal to seize on and always cling to in the shape in which they come, without regard to their possible error, limitation, or imperfection. And indeed, at one stage in the yoga, it becomes necessary to refuse to accept as definite and final any kind of intellectual idea or opinion, whatever in its intellectual form, and to hold it in a questioning suspension until it is given its right place and luminous shape of truth in a spiritual experience, enlightened by supramental knowledge. And much more must this be the case with the desires or impulsions of the life mind, which have often to be provisionally accepted as immediate indices of a temporarily necessary action before we have the full guidance, but not always clung to with the soul's complete assent. For eventually, all these desires and impulsions have to be rejected, or else transformed into and replaced by impulsions of the divine will taking up the life movements. The heart's faith, emotional beliefs, assents are also needed upon the way, but cannot be always sure guides until they too are taken up, purified, transformed, and are eventually replaced by the luminous assents of a divine Ananda, which is at one with the divine will and knowledge. In nothing in the lower nature, from the reason to the vital will, can the seeker of the yoga put a complete and permanent faith. But only at last in the spiritual truth, power, Ananda, which become in the spiritual reason his soul guides and luminaries and masters of action. And yet, faith is necessary throughout and at every step because it is a needed ascent of the soul, and without this ascent there can be no progress. Our faith must first be abiding in the essential truth and principles of the yoga. And even if this is clouded in the intellect, despondent in the heart, outwearied and exhausted by constant denial and failure in the desire of the vital mind, there must be something in the innermost soul which clings and returns to it. Otherwise, we may fall on the path, or abandon it from weakness and inability to bear temporary defeat, disappointment, difficulty, and peril. In the yoga, as in life, it is the man who persists unwearied to the last in the face of every defeat and disillusionment and of all confronting, hostile, and contradicting events and powers who conquers in the end and finds his faith justified, because to the soul and Shakti in man, nothing is impossible. And even a blind and ignorant faith is a better possession than skeptical doubt, which turns its back on our spiritual possibilities, or the constant carping of the narrow, pettily critical, uncreative intellect, asuya, which pursues our endeavor with a paralyzing incertitude. The seeker of the integral yoga must, however, conquer both these imperfections. The thing to which he has given his assent and set his mind and heart and will to achieve, the divine perfection of the whole human being, is apparently an impossibility to the normal intelligence, since it is opposed to the actual facts of life and will for long be contradicted by immediate experience, as happens with all far-off and difficult ends. And it is denied, too, by many who have spiritual experience, but believe that our present nature is the sole possible nature of man in the body, and that it is only by throwing off the earthly life, or even all individual existence, that we can arrive at either a heavenly perfection or the release of extinction. In the pursuit of such an aim, there will for long be plenty of ground for the objections, the carpings, asuya, of that ignorant but persistent criticizing reason which founds itself plausibly on the appearances of the moment, the stock of ascertained fact and experience, refuses to go beyond and questions the validity of all indices and illuminations that point forward. And if he yields to these narrow suggestions, he will either not arrive or be seriously hampered and long delayed in his journey. On the other hand, ignorance and blindness in the faith are obstacles to a large success, invite much disappointment and disillusionment, fasten on false finalities, and prevent advance to greater formulations of truth and perfection. The Shakti in her workings will strike ruthlessly at all forms of ignorance and blindness, and all even that trusts wrongly and superstitiously in her, and we must be prepared to abandon a too persistent attachment to forms of faith and cling to the saving reality alone. A great and wide spiritual and intelligent faith, intelligent with the intelligence of that larger reason which assents to high possibilities, is the character of the Shraddha needed for the integral yoga. This Shraddha, the English word faith is inadequate to express it, is in reality an influence from the Supreme Spirit, and its light a message from our supramental being, which is calling the lower nature to rise out of its petty present to a great self-becoming and self-exceeding. And that which receives the influence and answers to the call is not so much the intellect, the heart, or the life mind, but the inner soul, which better knows the truth of its own destiny and mission. The circumstances that provoke our first entry into the path are not the real index of the thing that is at work in us. There the intellect, the heart, or the desires of the life mind may take a prominent place, or even more fortuitous accidents and outward incentives. But if these are all, then there can be no surety of our fidelity to the call and our enduring perseverance in the yoga. The intellect may abandon the idea that attracted it, the heart weary or fail us, the desire of the life mind turn to other objectives. But outward circumstances are only a cover for the real workings of the spirit. And if it is the spirit that has been touched, the inward soul that has received the call, the Shraddha will remain firm and resist all attempts to defeat or slay it. It is not that the doubts of the intellect may not assail, the heart waver, the disappointed desire of the life mind sink down exhausted on the wayside. That is almost inevitable at times, perhaps often, especially with us, sons of an age of intellectuality and skepticism and a materialistic denial of spiritual truth, which has not yet lifted its painted clouds from the face of the sun of a greater reality, and is still opposed to the light of spiritual intuition and inmost experience. There will very possibly be many of those trying obscurations of which even the Vedic rishis so often complain, long exiles from the light. And these may be so thick, the night on the soul may be so black, that faith may seem utterly to have left us. But through it all, the spirit within will be keeping its unseen hold, and the soul will return with a new strength to its assurance, which was only eclipsed and not extinguished, because extinguished it cannot be when once the inner self has known and made its resolution, sankalpa via vasaya. The divine holds our hand through all, and if he seems to let us fall, it's only to raise us higher. this saving return we shall experience so often that the denials of doubt will become eventually impossible. And when once the foundation of equality is firmly established, and still more when the sun of the gnosis has risen, doubt itself will pass away, because its cause and utility have ended. Moreover, not only a faith in the fundamental principle, ideas, way of the yoga is needed, but a day-to-day working faith in the power in us to achieve, in the steps we have taken on the way, in the spiritual experiences that come to us, in the intuitions, the guiding movements of will and impulsion, the moved intensities of the heart and aspirations and fulfillments of the life that are the aids, the circumstances and the stages of the enlarging of the nature, and the stimuli or the steps of the soul's evolution. At the same time, it has always to be remembered that we are moving from imperfection and ignorance towards light and perfection, and the faith in us must be free from attachment to the forms of our endeavor and the successive stages of our realization. There is not only much that will be strongly raised in us in order to be cast out and rejected, a battle between the powers of ignorance and the lower nature, and the higher powers that have to replace them, but experiences, states of thought and feeling, forms of realization that are helpful and have to be accepted on the way, and may seem to us for the time to be spiritual finalities, are found afterwards to be steps of transition, have to be exceeded, and the working faith that supported them withdrawn in favor of other and greater things, or of more full and comprehensive realizations and experiences, which replace them, or into which they are taken up in a completing transformation. There can be for the seeker of the integral yoga no clinging to resting places on the road or to halfway houses. He cannot be satisfied till he has laid down all the great enduring bases of his perfection and broken out into its large and free infinities. And even there, he has to be constantly filling himself with more experiences of the infinite. His progress is an ascent from level to level, and each new height brings in other vistas and revelations of the much that has still to be done. Buri Kartvam, till the divine Shakti has at last taken up all his endeavor, and he has only to assent and participate gladly by a consenting oneness in her luminous workings. That which will support him through these changes, struggles, transformations, which might otherwise dishearten and baffle, for the intellect and life and emotion always grasp too much at things, fasten on premature certitudes, and are apt to be afflicted and unwilling when forced to abandon that on which they rested, is a firm faith in the Shakti that is at work, and reliance on the guidance of the master of the yoga, whose wisdom is not in haste, and whose steps through all the perplexities of the mind are assured and just and sound, because they are founded on a perfectly comprehending transaction with the necessities of our nature. Pausing here, bottom of page 776, to be continued with the next reading.